Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. For the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, IgerStudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.com. This week on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to have with us Ben Delaney. Ben is a photographer out of the Pacific Northwest, residing in Spokane, Washington. A lot of great stuff coming out of Ben's camp. Beautiful analog photography. We're going to sit down with Ben today to chat about himself, his photography, and what he's up to. Ben, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program today to talk about yourself, your photography, and your transition from digital back to film. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Ben, let's talk about yourself and when you got involved in photography and what sort of brought you into wanting to take pictures.
Sure. I kind of started taking photos when I was probably in junior high or high school, and my mom had an old 35mm camera. I kind of would take that out on trips that we would go on, and I just kind of loved the idea of making photos. And then I worked for a couple different photographers as I grew up a little bit, and kind of worked as a studio assistant and that sort of thing. And then when digital kind of took off there, that would have been kind of the early 2000s, I just left behind the film stuff and dove right into doing digital photography and loved that. I'm kind of right in the middle in that age group between people who grew up with film but now are in the digital age, so I've kind of done both. And honestly, I just got a little burnt out on the digital. It's just a lot of work in post-production and just an endless learning curve that there's never an end to all the new gadgets and tools. So for me, the appeal to going back to doing film work again was simplicity, really. I just kind of like the idea of shooting photos and being in the moment and not knowing what I'm getting until later. The anticipation is fun. So as far as professional photography work, I've worked for a number of photographers over the years. I've had my own little business here in Spokane doing kind of commercial photography, and I've done some weddings and portrait work. But now I'm kind of focusing on just personal projects and shooting film.
So let's chat about this transition back shooting film. And then, as I'm sure a lot of people have, they got the digital bug. And with you doing your day job as technology-oriented, what was the thought besides post about going back to film? Was there a look? What made you want to jump back into it?
I think part of it was the look. I like the simplicity of it. With digital, it seems like it's just so easy to be constantly tinkering and learning all the new tricks and all the sort of filters. I think I've always liked that film look that people sort of recognize as being filmic. There's kind of a simplicity to it. I actually really prefer when I can tell that not everything is super saturated and super contrasty and ultra, ultra sharp. I mean, to me, there's an aesthetic appeal to the imperfection that you get with film. And the fact that you do your best to sort of make good exposures, but you can't totally predict and know exactly what you're getting when you get it. And so there's an element of surprise involved, which I think is appealing to me at least. And I really like the physical nature of it. The fact that I actually hold them in my hands and I put them on a light table and I can scan over them. I guess for me, I personally feel like when I'm working with film, I'm less tempted to do fancy things with color and try and kind of soup them up. I just try and keep it simple. So I think that was a big part of it. The look, I just like using transparency film. I like the color. I like the natural contrast that you can get. I like that natural film grain. So those were kind of some of the reasons that I went back to it. And for me, a big part of going back and the appeal of film was the process of taking the photos. So not even so much the photos themselves or the color or whatever, but just the actual process of doing it. And the slowness and the fact that you have to stop and think and calculate and contemplate and sort of be there. I was shooting weddings, and among the wedding photographer crowd that I was kind of hanging out with, it was almost like a competition who could have the most number of shots at the end of the day. And it got to be kind of a joke. You're just shooting 10,000 images at a wedding. And not only the workflow is maddening, but it's just overkill. It's ridiculous. So I got attracted to the idea of shooting 12 images at a time on a roll of 120 and having to make them count and having to think about it.
So tell me, Ben, about your current work. I know you're spending a lot of time on personal projects. I think a lot of time with documenting family history and life.
Yeah, like I said, when I kind of got back into film, part of it was a reaction to realizing that my daughter, who was young, just had no idea that this entire idea even existed. So part of it for me was kind of wanting to document her life and my son's life and my life in kind of a way that was meaningful and not typical, maybe. So I take it slow. We go on these little photo outings and I just kind of take photos. And for me, it's been kind of cathartic. There's just the process of kind of looking at these people that I obviously love and am around all the time, but kind of seeing them through this different lens, so to speak. Has been really cool for me. So yeah, I've been focusing on doing that, and I'm starting to kind of see some themes coming about, just sort of a little bit more of a personal style that I think is, like for any photographer, I suppose, probably takes forever to feel like you know what your style is. And for me, I'm kind of trying to take that slow, but trying to get there too. So it's been a learning experience, really, to kind of step back and do the photography just for the joy of it. And kind of for the art of it and try and see kind of everyday events, but maybe a different perspective or a different angle. A big part for me, at least, that I've noticed in my film personal project work is they feel quiet to me. And what I mean by that is I think the fact that I'm shooting them with old film cameras and that I have to kind of move slow, I'm not just shooting 8 frames a second for the most part. So to me, the themes and the style and kind of the feeling of the images tends to feel quiet and kind of contemplative, and I like that.
So it definitely shows in your work that you're contemplating what you're shooting, and it's not just, like you said, full burn on a digital rig.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a place for that. I actually, the other day, kind of got out my Nikon digital camera again and realized, gosh, I can shoot 8 frames a second with this. So I was playing around with that. I mean, there's a place for speed, but there's also a really distinct difference when you're thinking about every photograph that you're taking. And not only is it more work to produce, but it costs more. I mean, it costs money to get that film processed and the nice scanner to scan it. So there's an element where at least it feels like it matters a little more. Maybe that's just my way of tricking myself, but there is a noticeable difference for me between shooting digital and shooting film in that regard.
Have you found that now that you've gone back to film, when you do grab the digital gear, that you're as slow and contemplating as you are with shooting film?
Yeah, I think it has changed a bit. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's nice to have that ability to go fast, but I have noticed myself just slowing down and thinking more and maybe not shooting 20 shots when I can shoot 2 or 3 or whatever. And I've noticed, too, that I think, for me at least, using older cameras has kind of helped me change the way I see things. One example is with the Mamiya that I use. It's an old twin-lens camera, and you look down through the top viewfinder, but the image is reversed. So it's not upside down on mine, but it's backwards. So it's a little bit disorienting, of course, at first. But for me, at least, it's really forced me to actually see the compositions differently. So because it's foreign and because it kind of changes the way I'm perceiving whatever it is, I've noticed that when I go back to the digital, some of those kind of habits that I'm forming or ways of making compositions, I've noticed I'm carrying over now and seeing that differently in the digital world, too.
Let's talk about gear. You had mentioned that you're shooting with a twin lens Mamiya. What else are you up to?
I've got an old Voigtlander that I like. It's this little Vito, I forget the exact name of it. I think in its day was considered kind of a consumer level camera. Called a, let me see here, the Vito Automatic, I guess. And it's a great old German little rangefinder, 35 millimeter. It's really fun. I've got a couple little old Yashica, what are they called? Electro 35, I think. And they're also in that same genre, just kind of what used to be just sort of consumer-level cameras. But honestly, the lenses are just tack sharp. They're really fast. They feel really solid. They're made out of metal. They're heavy. They work great. So as far as film cameras go, those are kind of my three. And I use the Holga occasionally, which my old mentor kind of introduced me to that years ago. And it's a pleasure. I don't know if you've ever used a Holga. They're just fun. They're simple. There's nothing to it. You kind of guess on focus, and you guess on everything. You guess on whether you're going to get an exposure at all, but it can produce some really neat results. So those are the film cameras that I use. The Mamiya C330 is great. I have like three different twin lens little rigs for that. And then for digital, I use a Nikon D700, which I really love. I actually switched away from Canon a couple years ago, partly because I really like the way that Nikon handles low light. And I really like the texture. When you shoot at high ISO, you typically get noise digitally. But I've noticed, at least in my experience with the Nikon, that their noise reduction works really well. And for me, the images, they look more like film grain. So I spent a couple years scanning film for my mentor. So I was looking at film at about 100% all day long. So I got really familiar with the texture of film grain. And to my eyes, I like the way that the Nikon algorithms or whatever kind of reproduce that. It actually looks a lot more like film grain to me. So that's for the gear that I'm using right now. I pretty much shoot all natural light. I've got some light gear, but I rarely use it these days.
So, Ben, tell me about color black and white. Why do you like either of the two?
I really like color, actually, in the film stuff that I've done. Honestly, I think it's probably a simplistic reaction, but I like looking at it on a light table. I like looking at E6 transparency on a light table. I like the fact that I can hold it and just look at it. On the other hand, though, I really love black and white. And in fact, just recently, I've been really shooting more black and white. The great thing about black and white is that it's cheap, just practically speaking. But in my experience, it really forces you to make interesting compositions. The color's great, but I admit it can easily be kind of a crutch in some ways. If you have something that's just beautifully colorful, then it might look interesting, even if your composition isn't that great. So with the black and white stuff, I find that I focus less on tones and mood and that sort of thing, and I try to focus on composition and just making compositions that work and focusing on the fine details of a face or whatever. With color, I guess my emphasis tends to be more on the mood that I'm trying to create or represent or kind of the tone of an image. For me, that's a big theme that I'm trying to kind of learn and discover is just how to really convey a specific tone thematically. So I think black and white kind of can get me there in a certain way where color can get me there in another.
Let's chat about this black and white and tonality and how you're conveying something. I mean, because the work that you're doing during the day is you're doing design work and so forth and using lots of color. How do you find that it makes you think or rethink when you go to shoot in black and white? Do you think differently when you shoot black and white?
To be honest with you, I probably don't as much as I should. When I remember that I've got black and white film in the camera, I think probably there are times where I try to remind myself to focus more on composition and look for areas of dark contrast. I mean, at least my personal preference, if I'm shooting black and white, I like it to be punchy. I like it to be black blacks and white whites and not a lot in between. I like that look where you've got kind of a sky that's just pure white and foreground elements that are almost silhouette or that are very stark. So, yeah, I guess to be honest, I probably do shoot a little differently when I know I've got the black and white because I'm looking for those areas of starker contrast and kind of punchier compositions, shape-driven versus color or tone-driven. So, at least for me, that's probably the difference. When I know I'm doing black and white, I'm probably more tuned in to shapes and value contrast. Whereas when I know I've got color, I'm probably more tuned in to faces and tones and kind of feelings and stuff like that. That's a tough one, though. I know that I could really improve in that area. Like I said, my old mentor, he was kind of an old East Coaster who pulled no punches, and he'd constantly be telling me, get closer, get a better angle, get more contrast, get a better composition. So I think I hear his voice in my head a little more when I'm shooting black and white.
So let's talk about what happens after you're done shooting. Are you souping stuff yourself? What are you doing?
I actually have the film processed at a lab, and then I scan it on a Epson, what is it, V700 photo scanner. It's a flatbed, but it does well with film. I'd like to upgrade at some point and get a better film scanner. I used an Imacon years ago, which I really like, and I noticed it had a lot more brightness. I had a better tonal range than I do with the Epson, but the Epson works good. I like it for what it is. It's slow. I mean, on one hand, it's one of the frustrating parts of dealing with film. On the other hand, like I said before, it's rewarding, but it's slow. I get film back, and I trim it, and I kind of organize it and put it into envelopes. Right now, I've probably got 50 rolls of film just processed and waiting for me to get around to scanning them. So I like the scanning process, but it definitely is slow. I try to be really kind of purist about it. I'm not, for the most part, doing any real heavy-duty post-processing. I mean, I clean them up, and I kind of adjust contrast or adjust sharpness here and there, things like that. But I'm typically not doing major digital modifications to things after the fact. It's funny, because with digital stuff, I tend to do that a lot more liberally. With the film, somehow I sort of feel a responsibility, which may be, again, me tricking myself. But I think I feel a responsibility to kind of just leave it alone and let it be what it is. So I like the scanning. It's actually kind of therapeutic. It's quiet, and I take my time on it.
So do you print out any of these photos that you're doing? You typically have things proofed when you send stuff to the lab. Are you printing yourself, or pretty much stayed all within the digital realm after you've acquired it analog-wise?
I haven't done any actual real printing. By that I mean from the negative. I actually would like to. That's something I've just not had access to and haven't set up a place to do that. When I get prints done, I have them done through kind of a small local lab. They're really good. I work with them to make sure that the color is good and that everything is kind of consistent. So that's one area where I would like to do some more experimentation and some more learning is the printing aspect. Because I really love printed photographs. I mean, to me, in that same vein of loving the tactile, physical nature of film, there's something really special about photographs that are in your hands. I mean, I think it's surprising when I talk to people who are kind of fresh into photography in the last decade or so. Most of them, they typically don't get prints made. They just look at things on screens, and it's, of course, beautiful and bright and everything. But there's really something special and unique, and I don't know, it just feels more important. It feels more real when you're kind of holding it in your hands and you put it on a wall or whatever. So I think it's important to print stuff. I really do. It's one area where, again, I'm kind of trying to improve and trying to grow. I want to just be printing more of the work. I think it kind of gives you a different look at it. For me, I notice there's photos when I print them, I feel differently about them than I do when I just look at them on a screen. I may not like them as much, or there's some that I like 10 times more when I see a printed version of it. So I think that's a really important thing to do, is print it out and see it on paper. And I think for people, too, who are viewing it, there's still a sense of validation that they attribute to a printed photograph. It does feel more real. It could be the same gorgeous photograph that they just saw on a screen, but I've watched people who react to a printed piece differently than they reacted to that exact same printed piece on a screen. So, yeah, printing is a big one. I think it's important.
I think a lot of people lose that. And even when you're shooting film and you get all these scans and people are used to looking stuff on the screen and they just don't print like when you used to go and drop your film off at the lab, you would get back the negatives and a set of prints, unless they were chromes. But then you had something to look at that was even different, even beyond a regular static print.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, like I said before, when I worked in the studio and this old guy that I worked for, we did everything that way. All the film got laid out on the light table and we were interacting with it physically. And then we were printing as much as possible. So yeah, I really don't think a lot of people appreciate these days. They know they can do it, obviously. We have all these great printers. But so many people that I talk to almost never print their photographs. And it's a really important thing to do. Even projecting them. I've actually been looking, trying to find an old projector for medium format transparencies. Because even just projecting photographs is kind of a lost art. There was a whole period of time where that was what you did. You shot Kodachrome and you put it on the wall. I think that's kind of a lost art, too. I think that's something that is really cool.
Yeah, projecting the chromes is definitely cool. And like you said, it's a dying art.
Yeah, every garage sale is always a slide projector.
But that's good for people that want to get them. They're very economically priced.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm shocked all the time at how economical film gear is. And the thing that people don't realize is it's great quality. I mean, like I said before, these little cameras that I'm shooting with that were in their time considered kind of probably very middle of the road, except for the Mamiya, but compared to a current middle of the road digital camera, they're far better. The lenses are sharper, the build quality, there's just no comparison, and the results are amazing. I mean, friends and family ask me what camera to buy, and I almost constantly tell them now, just find an old rangefinder. Just get a film camera. You'll not only take better pictures, but you'll enjoy it more, and you'll take fewer pictures. Because people end up with an iPhoto catalog or whatever full of 40,000 images, and maybe only 5% of them are even worth keeping.
And I think really that's a good point is when you get stuff into a digital realm and there's nothing wrong with iPhoto. iPhoto is great for your scans.
Oh, it's glorious. Yeah.
The problem is, though, what happens when you get a new computer or you get something right, and then things don't get transferred over? Then what happens to these family memories and these things that you would, in theory, want to keep because you spent the time to take a photo of them? What happens to these things in the future?
Yeah, precisely. And I think that's a problem that people our age or people who are operating right now probably haven't really dealt with yet because we're just right in the middle of it. But like you said, in another 10 or 15 years, I don't think iPhoto is going away or I don't think digital is going away, but there is a sense of wanting to kind of preserve those things and make sure that you've got it. And I've noticed, too, that one of the big differences, going back to the earlier question about the differences between film and digital, it's obvious, but I take so far fewer photographs than I used to. I used to just have reams of digitals that I just had to weed through. And now there's really a kind of a pleasant simplicity to having 12 or 24 or 36 shots at a time, and you're making them count. There's a real value there. Again, people ask me, friends or family ask me for tips on how to take photographs, and one of the things I tell them is to shoot with film, because you'll take better photos, period. You will think more, and you'll care. So you've only got 24, you're going to make those 24 count as best you can. And if you've got 4,000 possibilities on a card, you're not going to care about every one of those as much. If you've only got 12 or 24, you're going to make those 12 or 24 count.
That's the thing. I think that when you are shooting film, you're sort of conscious of, okay, well, what's this going to cost? So do I really want to take a picture of this or not? And I think, like you said, when you really start thinking about things, you try to capture better moments. But typically it works out to where you have finer moments and things are better when you're not just burning through it like you're a crazy man.
Invariably, that's the case for me. I mean, I can't tell you how true that is. I mean, like I was saying, that personal work that I've got on that Chaz Delaney website, it's all a product of that exact dynamic of having a very limited resource and trying to make them count. And I'm kind of pleasantly surprised all the time that it really does work. The photos are more interesting. It's kind of an X factor. I don't even know why, because you don't fundamentally do anything different. You're pointing and you're pushing the button, but at least in my experience, there is a noticeable difference with shooting film and with the quality of the actual moment that you're capturing.
So what do you look forward to in your photography? What do you want to do that you haven't got to do yet?
Well, I'm kind of in a weird transitional phase, to be honest with you. I was doing a lot of weddings and I was doing a fair amount of commercial work, and in this transition to film and kind of backing away from it, I think I've reconsidered some of my goals and my motives in that world. So really for me right now, I would like to explore kind of more of the art side of it. That personal work that I've been doing, I feel like is moving in that direction. I want to kind of try and capture artful scenes of reality. I can say it that way. That seems cheesy, but I would like to do some gallery shows at some point. I'm trying to kind of build up a body of work and figure out what themes are emerging there. So for me, at least, that's kind of where my focus or my ambitions are at this point. I would like to be kind of moving into that category a little bit and then see where the other stuff takes me. I mean, the commercial work is fun. I like it. I happen to live in a part of the country where there just is not a lot of actual kind of market for that right now. I live in Spokane, Washington. There's virtually no publishing industry here. It's just a slightly smaller city, so the immediate opportunities for that kind of work are harder to come by. So I'm trying to kind of retool and think about what direction I'd like to move in. So that's kind of a meandering answer, but I'd like to do more art, I think.
No, the work's fabulous. And like you said, I think when you don't have to concentrate on doing photography to make a living with it, and you get to do it because you love it, then things come out a lot better than you're always
and
pushed.
And I kind of tried to be honest with myself and realize I kind of jumped into quote-unquote professional photography probably prematurely. I mean, I kind of opened my little business when I was, it would have been like 25 or 23 or whatever. So I didn't know anything and still don't feel like I do. So I kind of dove in head first, and I think I probably got a little burned out. And I think that I'm okay with that. Like, I'm trying to sort of just be real and realize that I'm definitely in a learning phase. And if this learning phase then produces at some point here in the future some better commercial work and some better focus and kind of personal style, then great. But I think there's a lot of people that are probably in that same position. I know a lot of people that are there where you get excited about photography and you think, well, gee, I love this. I better do this for a living. And then you end up kind of hating it because photography is a brutal business to be in. I mean, I don't think anybody who's in the photography business would say that it's easy. It's really hard. It's hard to make a living. The environment is constantly changing. And so I personally have kind of just pulled back a little bit, and I'm saying to myself, grow up a little bit, figure out what your style is, figure out where you want to go with it, and then see where it takes you. So that's kind of been my progression as far as being a quote-unquote pro. It's challenging, but certainly rewarding at the same time.
No, this is cool stuff. So, Ben, tell me, where can people look at your work, your website? You have a couple different things going. You have a Flickr stream. Tell me where we can look at your work.
Right now, kind of the place I've got all that personal work is ChazDelaney.com, ChazDelaney. So that's kind of a personal gallery. My regular website is BenDelaneyPhoto.com, and I do have some stuff on Flickr. So my name or whatever there is just Ben Delaney. And then I've got a blog that I kind of post personal stuff to and just other random stuff, and that's BenDelaney.me. So that's kind of where I'm at online, at least.
Now, this is great stuff, and I do appreciate you joining us today to get an insight into yourself, your photography, your transition from digital back to analog capture, and I think this is very cool, and I do appreciate the time, buddy. Great photography.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, there you go. Ben Delaney. Beautiful photography. Great stuff going on with Ben. Definitely check out Ben's website over at www.bdelaney. That's B-D-E-L-A-N-E-Y, bdelaney.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at DR5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at Upstrap-Pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at IgerStudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at APUG.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at EastmanHouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.